Back together again, you and I chatting it up round the wireless on Tuesday, August 27th, 2024 on Connecticut Today. We welcomed State Senate Republican leader Steve Harding and Yankee Institute blogger Megan Portfolio on the continued anger regarding rising electric bills all around the state. And I also opened the show with a few thoughts on that as well, and maybe the failures of our lawmakers. Talking to somebody about maybe this big public rally, which we're hearing rumblings about next month, connected to people's outrage now and kind of a rekindled, I guess we could say, interest in how the electric market works in Connecticut, UI, Eversource, what Pura does, and all this kindled and sparked by at least 1 month, and we'll see what happens in the next few months, of not necessarily higher generation costs. In fact, that's usually the least part of people's bills, but the transmission costs and what they call the public benefits portion. Now, the Republicans in Hartford holding a news conference today, looking to at least get some ideas out there via a special session. The governor says, maybe, but have we heard anything from the Democratic majority? Joining us right now is Republican State Senate Leader Steve Harding to update us on that and more. Hey, Steve, it's Paul. How are you?
Paul, always great to be on, and thank you for highlighting this issue. I mean, you've highlighted on your show, which is very helpful, that residents throughout the state need to know that there are folks in the legislature, that being in the House Republican and State Republican Party, that want to do something about this. And really, the majority just is absent, has not said anything on this, has done nothing but, frankly, try to play a blame game. And what we're saying is we're not here to place blame. We can have a discussion of that at a time and a place. We're here to actually provide relief. They've offered zero solutions, and you know, the fact that you're highlighting is critically important for your listeners throughout the state.
Well, and thank you, Stephen. The reason that myself and other hosts are doing this is I think pretty basic. People want to know, Steve, that they're being heard, and you have this change.org position. A petition that's got over 60,000 people on it. I know you folks introduced your petition. We'll get to that internet address in a second. And even the governor said, all right, he'd be open to that. And Steve, you and I and everybody else knows that this now was the result of votes from both parties over years and years, going back to different times with different agreements. So nobody is saying that we don't know where this came from. But Steve, the thing that I said earlier in the show is, people just want to hear three simple words. We hear you. That's all they want to say is we hear you. And you and I both know this is not going to get solved in 4 or 5 days of a special session. But I just think, Steve, that people want to see both sides get together and say, okay, let's change things, or at least let's look at what's possible in the short term or the long term.
Paul, you're exactly right, because ultimately, at the end of the day, when a family is sitting down at the kitchen table, which unfortunately many throughout the state are doing tonight, trying to figure out how to pay this bill and also make a mortgage payment and a rent payment and everything else that's on their plate, when they're dealing with record inflation already, they don't care what party solves the issue. They're understandable in the fact that one day in special session is not going to resolve all their problems. We're not saying that. But what we are saying is, by going into special session, we're telling the state of Connecticut, the people within the state of Connecticut, the hardworking people here, we hear you. We understand your concerns. Your concerns are valid. There are opportunities now to provide immediate relief and also stop the bleeding, more importantly, even more than providing the immediate relief, because we can utilize funds to help offset some of these public benefit costs, which have skyrocketed recently and have helped to raise these electric bills to levels that people have never seen. We can offset some of those costs. That is in our proposal as Republicans. So there is some immediate relief. But even more so, this is only getting worse by the day. Just the last meeting that Pura had, they approved implementing further charges on your public benefit as it relates to this EV mandate that the Democrats were pushing earlier this year. So your bill is only going to go up. So what we're saying is, let's stop the bleeding now. Let's provide some immediate relief to help the ratepayers throughout the state, but also let's implement measures to put protections in place to ensure that these unaffordable behaviors, these unaffordable policies, do not once again cripple the ratepayers of our state. We have a real opportunity to tell the ratepayers that we hear you, and two, offer them a solution which can stop the bleeding and offer immediate relief. It's a win-win for everybody from both parties. Frankly, for any legislator of any party, not to get on this issue with us, to work with us on this, is a dereliction of your duty to your constituency. Because they frankly deserve better. They deserve to have this issue addressed. They deserve to be heard.
The governor, Steve, earlier today responding to the caucus news conference and the announcement of what you guys and gals wanted to do, the governor did, though, Steve, offer some mild pushback as it comes to PURA. It sounded like he doesn't want PURA touch, but yet, and correct me if I'm wrong, Steve, there are two open seats on PURA, so the agency, the board there, the PURA board that has to rubber stamp this stuff, it's not even at full strength. Explain that to my listeners.
That's correct. So you have up to five appointments. The governor has unilateral authority to make appointments to the PURA commission. He has currently, an individual has left, one of the commissioners has left. So you're at three now. And I believe if one of the three, if not two of the three, haven't even been confirmed through their reappointment. They're just sitting, and they're essentially an at-will employee to PURA. Under the authority of the governor. And so what has occurred is, whether it be conscious or subconscious, the PURA Commission has become, you know, overtly political because essentially they're at-will employees of the governor. And so if PURA truly can, if you want PURA to act in the form in which it was originally constructed, to be an independent body of the governor, independent of the legislature, then you'd make those reappointments, and there'd be five commissioners pursuant to what legislation calls for. The governor has said, well, maybe there shouldn't be five, maybe there should be four or three. If that's the case, then the legislature should be implementing a change in legislation to make it that, and have a discussion about why it may be beneficial to have less. But just to do what's being done here by the governor's office, which is going contrary to what the current law says, is not the way to go about this. Change the law if you don't like the way PURA is currently constructed, and allow the legislature to have a say on it and to debate it. And on top of that, one of our proposals that we proposed today and in the past is to separate PURA from DEEP. Because really, PURA is supposed to be there to look out for affordability for the ratepayers. And DEEP, frankly, has often, in recent years, championed measures which have driven up energy costs to the ratepayers exponentially. So how do you have a commission that has essentially a boss that is championing policies that drive up costs, which main driver in PURA is to reduce those costs? It seems like it's kind of a tug of war going on. Mm-hmm. So these are all things that would make perfect sense. Again, that would stop the bleeding, as I mentioned, they're not even being given interest by the governor or the majority party, which is really very sad for the ratepayers and the hardworking people of this state. They really deserve better. And, you know, one thing I will say, if the governor doesn't want to take up the PURA measure, fine. We have multiple other proposals that would provide immediate and long-term relief. He hasn't spoken to those. Let's have a discussion on those issues at least. Let's do something here to show the people of the state that we want to do something.
Well, and then that's just it, Steve. And the guest is Steve Harding, State Senate Minority Leader Brookfield. And Steve, yeah, I think people, as we said earlier, as you and I just said, people just want to hear you guys and gals, or more precisely, the people in the majority there say, we hear you. This isn't going to be easy, but let's start the ball rolling. One last thing on PURA, Steve, before we get to the petition you guys and gals set up. I'm no bright guy here, but when you have three people on a five-member board and two of the other seats are empty, that concentrates, Steve, too much power in too few people. And I don't know about you. I've always been, whether it's elections or boards or different kinds of bodies, I think the more voices, Steve, the better. And I think PURA would be served far better if there were at least five people on that board and not three.
I think, and Paul, don't underestimate yourself. You are an intelligent guy, and I think what you're saying is spot on. I think that the more voices you lend to the conversation here, the better for the ratepayers. And I also would argue that it seems like the pure commissioners are highly concentrated within the confines of former utility company employees. And so a commission that's constructed for the most part to look out or be a watchdog for the consumer that has commissioners that are former employees of the utilities doesn't make a lot of sense. So I think if nothing else, to add the two commissioners, maybe, you know, consumer watchdogs.
Yeah.
As opposed to former utility employees, might be exactly what we need on that commission to make better decisions and more importantly, more affordable decisions for the ratepayers here in the state.
Absolutely. Finally, I see the website here, specialsessionct.com. Steve, what's that about?
So we can go into special session even without the governor calling us in. The governor can unilaterally call us in. That was what we originally called for earlier this summer. Since the governor, frankly, is not willing to do that, has said that he just wants to have a meeting, we're now petitioning. And with a simple majority of legislators in both chambers, in the House and the Senate, we can go into special session and call and us in the special session ourselves as a legislative body. So we are calling on Democrats. Every Republican in the House and the Senate has signed this petition so that all we need is some Democrats to constitute a majority with us to call us in the special session. So if you want to contact your Democrat legislators and tell them to do the right thing by their constituency to address this issue in a special session to provide both immediate and short-term, immediate and long-term relief to the ratepayers of the state, you can go to specialsessionct.com, and it gives you all the details on how to contact your Democrat legislators. Tell them to do the right thing. Join us in this effort to finally provide much-needed relief to the ratepayers of our state.
All right, Steve Harding, State Senate Minority Leader. Steve, thanks. Be good, and we'll chat down the road. Thanks, Steve.
Look forward to it. Thanks, as always, Paul.
All right, thanks, Steve Harding there. Yeah, the website is specialsessionct.com. Now, as we look at this change.org petition here asking the governor and legislators to do something about power bills and the public benefit charge, it's up to almost 63,000. The Republicans in the State House and State Senate posted their own petition today asking for a multi-day special session to at least map out a road way to battle this. You can go to specialsessionct.org. We can do that. And joining us right now writing about this is Megan Portfolio. She writes the Hartford Portfolio blog at the Yankee Institute. And Megan, I understand you spoke to someone who was trying to put, what, a rally together about this in September. Good afternoon. And what's going on with that?
Hey, good afternoon. Yeah, so, you know, you and I both talked to our friend Scott, who put together that petition. And I guess it must have just, you know, sparked something in people. And people are actually getting active and are not happy. And they're starting to fight back. And it's awesome. So this woman, Cindy Jordan from, I think she's from the Clinton area. And just like the rest of us, everyone's complaining about it. Everyone in her life has been complaining about it. And they're like, what can we do? And so she's like, let's do a rally. Let's go to the Capitol and bring our voice there, because the petitions are great. All the stuff on social media is great. But I want to take this movement up to the Capitol and be in there, not be in their face, because that's, you know, I'm not trying to incite violence.
No, no, no.
But like, be there so that the lawmakers probably won't be there. But, you know, the governor will be there and the other constitutional officers will be there. And they're hoping to get some press and bring more attention to this. And they're just trying to make their message very, very simple. They're not trying to ask for a lot of stuff. They're 100% serious. They're looking for relief on the public benefits portion that has got all of us up in arms. They'd actually like to see it on pause. I don't know if that's possible, but they want to see it on pause until a special session can, or, you know, if it gets called. They want that PURA, which is by law supposed to have 5 members on the board, but only has 3 for some reason. It's like a big mystery. So they want that. And they've got about 100 people signed up to show up, which is pretty amazing, being that it's on September 12th, which is a Thursday at 9.
Yeah.
So she says, you know, she's talking to people. They're taking off from work to show up. You know, the stay-at-home mom and dads, you know, they're committed, retirees, are trying to figure out, you know, transportation out there. Yeah. So it's pretty exciting. I mean, I don't know if they're going to get a million people just, you know, in the middle of the workday, but just to have so many people interested is just amazing. And I love seeing it.
Yeah. And you know, Megan, and I had Steve Harding on before, and I even had Democratic State Rep Jennifer Leeper on last week because she said she was just floored by the stuff she was finding, really digging into this, going back years and years. She wrote a really good piece. I don't know whether you saw it. It was in the Connecticut Mirror. And she said the whole thing is a mess. The entire thing, the way the bills are broken down, the agreements and everything, the whole thing is a mess. Both sides voted on it going back several years. But here's the thing, Megan, and I just said all people want, Megan, I think, and they understand this stuff will take years to unravel and straighten out. They just want lawmakers to say, we hear you, right? Like, we hear you. You're upset. We get it. But it seems like, and I don't know whether you've heard differently, but it seems like the majority in Hartford hasn't said a word here. They're trying to wait till it dies down. But I don't think that serves them well. If they could just get the leaders together in a special session for a few days and just tell people, we understand you're angry. This is a weird system. Maybe PURE is not doing its job. I think both sides could come out looking decent, at least, on this.
No, I agree. I know, obviously, the Republicans had a press conference today, and they're kind of out of options being the minority party. So really, the only thing they can do is petition. And they do have a commitment from all Republicans in both chambers to sign it. But there's also on the Democrat side, the moderate caucus.
Yeah.
They've also been they have been vocal about it. What's her name? Rep. Jamie Foster had filed a motion with PURA to try to maybe extend these payments that are owed to the utility companies out. So the payments are smaller. So she's been speaking out. Chris Poulos from Connecticut, another Democrat. He's I've seen stuff from him on social media. He's definitely, you know, talking about it. He understands it. He actually took it to another level, which I was really happy with because I wrote about it on Friday. This is it's great that, you know, some lawmakers want to address this. But there's other stuff lurking in the shadows. Like, if we don't like public benefits charge now, we're definitely not going to like it if a lot of the greeny type.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Legislative stuff comes to fruition. I thought this damn green monster was dead, but I guess I had too much hope. One of the representatives, Gresko from Stratford.
Yeah, Joe Gresko.
He told Fox 61. Yeah, he told Fox, and he's a nice guy, and he's pretty straightforward. I do like him. But he was honest. He's like, it's coming back. But unfortunately, you know, Chris Poulos had actually said he voted against it. He was one of the Democrats who voted against it, knowing that bills like this are actually going to increase our electric rates. California is going through this. They're the number one highest electric rates with a lot of the green initiative and the push to go all electric. The grids aren't ready for it. And, you know, being forced to buy all this renewable power like wind and solar, it's more expensive. I've heard 15 cents a kilowatt hour for wind power versus the 5 cents for nuclear. So you think it's bad now. Please, people, keep paying attention. I mean, even if they – and I'm not sure what they really can do because, you know, like that article from Leeper said, I mean, it is a mess. It's a huge mess, and I don't think a lot of this can be fixed in a special session. I mean, I know they can maybe do some stuff, but they need to really come back and analyze. They need to rein in this PURA. They have way too much power. And this whole – power purchase agreement where we're tied into this rate for 10 years, like you need, you know, address that. I mean, I feel like 10 years is kind of too long for a contract like that. Maybe lower that or reevaluate it quarterly or bi-yearly or something.
And then again, but if you do that, you know, what's going to happen here? Listen, I don't bemoan anybody who's a lineman for UI or Eversource who's worked there for years. We understand that the rank and file people don't have any say in what the big wigs are doing, but You know what's going to happen, Megan, right? If they try to get tough, what are we going to hear, especially from Eversource? Well, you know, if it's going to be this way, we may not do any more investments in your state. So it's a little game of chicken that invariably is going to start all over again, like we've seen in the past few months.
Yeah, it is very frustrating. And in all this, I mean, it's great. Like, you know, Eversource makes their money. Their government has their power. And it's just like the rest of us that have to suffer. And yeah. I really wish both sides would just recognize, like, there's people on fixed incomes. I mean, they, you know, I've been there, you know, just out of high school, trying to work jobs and pay rent. You literally, when they say living paycheck to paycheck, it's no joke. People live that way. And when you just have these obnoxious rates go into effect to pay for just utter nonsense, you know, you're literally hurting people, and it's not right.
Yeah. And then Megan, one thing that can come out of this, and we always talk about, you know, they love to talk about teachable moments. I say people, I tell my listeners all the time, I'm not telling you how to think one way or the other on something, left or right. But you don't have to have a party affiliation, Megan, to pay attention, to just pay attention to what's going on. You know, go online. This isn't 1970 anymore. You can follow a bill all the way through, and you can tell, you know, in a gentlemanly or gentle person way, you can tell your legislator, hey, nice to see you again, when they show up at your kid's, you know, rubber chicken Little League or softball dinner. But don't be afraid to tell them, hey, I followed how you voted on Bill X, Y, and Z, and I'm really disappointed. I mean, that's what people have to start saying.
I mean, and they do. I mean, I'm not the biggest fan of government. I don't know if you can tell. But when you do approach them, you know, respectfully, they will respond to you. They're not 100% always going to agree with you or do what you want. But when you have the voices of the people, which is what we're seeing with this whole electric rate thing, like coming together, it's like, there's more of us than there are of them. And with our voice is very, very loud when we all, you know, work together. And who cares if you're a Democrat? Who cares if you're a Republican?
Yeah.
Do what's right. And they will listen. They have to listen if they like their jobs, because, you know, we have the power to vote you out. And I hope people stay engaged and pay attention and not only follow this issue through, but, you know, just pay attention to all the other stuff that comes out, because because otherwise we're going to be here in another year or two fighting over the same thing.
Absolutely.
When, you know, if the longer we pay attention, the longer we, you know, fight back and engage with the lawmakers, maybe they'll make less of these bad decisions.
Maybe.
Then we don't have to be at this point where we have to take days off of work to go to rallies. Things will just operate smoothly.
Yeah, we can only hope. Megan Portfolio, check out what she writes, folks, at the Hartford Portfolio at the Yankee Institute. Megan, as always, great to chat with you, and we'll chat next week. Thanks.
All right, goodbye, my friend.
All right, bye. Megan Portfolio there. There you go. So we can only surmise, I guess, and let me assume this. I know what happens when you assume. You don't have to tell me. But I would only surmise that Governor Ned Lamont and the majority Democrats in Hartford, you know who I'm talking about, Matt Ritter, Martin Looney, Bob Duff, all those folks, Gary Winfield, you can only assume, and maybe I'm wrong here, but I'm going to go on a limb and do this, you can only assume that they don't care. You can only assume that they don't care. And remember, a few days ago, we had Matt Ritter saying, well, you know, if we do what the Republicans want to do, it's only going to save people $12 a month, which is about $145, $150 a year. And to a lot of the elites in Hartford, that's like, well, $150, you know, $150. That's what I spend on dinner at some trendy place to eat in Hartford, New Haven, or Simsbury, or Wilton, or Westport. Because, boy, the stuff that you see now, you can only assume, as dangerous as that is, that one side in Hartford is determined to play. Now, look, both sides are playing politics with this. I get this. I understand this. But what the majority Democrats are doing is far more serious. They're basically telling the electric ratepayers of Connecticut to go screw. Well, Paul, how do you want that? How do you know that? Well, how else can you interpret that? On a day where I look up, and I'm going to refresh the page just to make sure I get the correct number here. So on a day where another 855 people have signed an online petition at change.org demanding Governor Ned Lamont and PURA cease the public benefit charge from the electric bill, that total is now up to over 62,500 people and growing. It leaps by a few hundred or a thousand a day. Now, here's what everybody will say, particularly those folks, and we've already heard their prattle from the Democratic side. well, you know, both parties signed on to this, which they did, and you cannot impugn Pura, and this was woven into that agreement, this, that, and the other. Okay, nobody's disputing that. But, there's an arrogance here of the governor saying, well, yeah, I'd be kind of okay with a special session now. Understand something. Even if a special session goes for 2 or 3 days, it's not going to achieve anything, at least in the short term. So don't get lost in this special session discussion. We'll have Steve Harding on from the Senate Republicans later on, the state Senate Republican leader out of Brookfield. Don't think that they're going to get together for 3 days and fix it. No, this is years and years of votes through previous administrations and lawmakers of both sides that have turned, and I've heard this from Democrats and Republicans, and have turned the power situation in this state into this jumbled and expensive mess. So it's not going to be fixed in 3 days. But here's the thing. What you can do in 3 days, what Governor Lamont can do, what Republicans and Democrats together can do, you know what they can do? Three words, which at least one party in Hartford doesn't wanna do. You can simply utter three words by your words and your actions. We hear you. That's all I'm looking for right now, is a notion that there are people listening. The governor kind of indicates that he's listening. The Republicans are listening and they're mad. What are we hearing from the Democrats, except from the House Speaker who poo-pooed you folks maybe saving $100 or $150 a year? Now, again, he may have good reason to say that, but let's get both sides together and have an adult discussion about this. Again, looking at this change.org petition, which has been running for at least a couple, 3 weeks now. Our buddy Scott Pearson's been talking about this. He's been on this show and radio all across the state. 62,500 and change people have signed on to this. And you know what that means? You know, a lot of people are not online. They don't listen to talk radio, whatever. I'll bet you that if you count the people who agree with that, who haven't signed on to this, that's probably close to 100,000 people. Now, it doesn't mean they understand everything. It doesn't mean that they want to get into the weeds on this. You know what it means? They want our lawmakers to simply hear them or to do something without a political calculation first. Now, you may say, well, the Republicans are doing political things. Well, yeah, because they're thinking something's got to be changed here. So listen, politicians, politic, it's what it is. Whether it's your local school board, your local board of finance, your board of alders, your city, your town council, that's what it is. Part of politics is a game. Part of this is a game. This is not hard to understand. But when you have an issue like this, where you have people saying, hey, the public benefits charge and the up and down of the rates, and then people say, well, you know, this happens all the time and it's going to go up and down. Yes, but what you have done is you have kind of awoken a sleeping mass of people here who are saying, hey, can you fix this? That's all. People, I think, will understand if you tell them, well, this is going to be really difficult. Yes, and I hearken back to landing on the moon was difficult. There were people in the early 60s saying this is nuts. The minute some astronaut gets beyond Earth orbit and they're subjected to interstellar radiation and all that, they're going to die. Well, guess what? People figured out it wasn't going to happen. And we hear the prattle from Governor Lamont all the time. Well, Connecticut has, we have the best people here in Connecticut, the smartest people. All right, and I don't doubt that. between the people that honorably serve in government on the local and state level, between people at, you know, UConn and Yale and Quinnipiac and Sacred Heart and Fairfield and Wesleyan and Kahn College and all those people. Bring some of those people in. See what they can do. Now, the governor has already said over the past few days, well, it's expensive here because we don't generate hardly enough power. In other words, we have to import everything. Well, I have an idea. How about considering, how about we think long term and start to say, let's lay out some goals like, shall I say it again, the space program, where 400,000 people work together for a common goal. The problem is we don't have common goals in this state. That's the problem. Because you have different problems and different goals for people in Hartford. Some people would say, hey, the number one goal should be that ratepayers in this state pay the least amount of electricity bills every month because that holds them back in their lives. The other half of the General Assembly, or more than half, two-thirds, will probably say, well, no, our immediate goal is climate change and EVs. And if people have to pay a little bit more for that, well, screw them. See, that's the problem. A lot of you folks, I don't want to say you don't realize it, but you have to step back and look at this from a macro point of view. And yeah, there's a micro, there's a micromanagement point of this as well, individual bills, Pura and all that. But the problem is there's no unity among our lawmakers. There just isn't. You get a lot of lip service, but then when you say to at least one side in Hartford, hey, we got to make things cheaper, well, you know, EVs, well, you know, charging stations, and I'm not getting into the minutiae here about so much money for this and this, that, and the other. Again, step back, look at this from a macro point of view. As I say all the time, nothing gets easier in this state. Nothing ever does. And whenever there are really mass ideas to change the way we do things, usually it never happens, except we're seeing it now with the spending, the fiscal guardrails, which thanking Governor Ned Lamont for that and the Republicans we now have. But that took decades to say, hey, we've got to put more money aside. And yet you have people in Hartford saying, no, 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 we must spend more. So again, the Republicans earlier today, and Steve Harding will be on, the Republicans today got together and said, hey, enough is enough. Let's at least get together for a few days here, voice the notion that we actually care. Or as I said earlier, we hear you. Senate Republican leader Steve Harding says here, and House Republican leader Vin Candelaure, among others, call for a special session to tackle the issue of high customer bills. And they did issue, and I have it right here, I'll get to some of these in a minute, some of the things they are at least suggesting. Governor Ned Lamont said he is open to a special session. In a letter to Harding and Candelaure, Lamont said he agreed that more needed to be done to lower energy costs. Yes! Thank you, Governor. Yes. Lamont said, quote, what we're experiencing right now and we've experienced for many years is the result of policy choices made years and even decades ago by people of both parties, many of whom are no longer even in office, and now we're facing the impacts of those decisions. Yes, Governor Lamont, you are correct. However, he argued that the answer was not reshuffling PURA, but more about supply and demand. Well, see, there you go. Now he's saying, but you can't change the regulatory structure. So right then and there, the governor makes sense with one thing, but he says, well, you got to leave PURA the way it is. Well, why? Explain to us why. People are smart. They can understand this stuff, Governor. Explain to us why. And if PURA is so integral here, why have I been told there it's not even staffed all the way? And the governor said, well, we're at the end of the pipeline leading to higher supply costs. Well, all right, why don't we build more power generating here in the state? Well, you can't do that. Why not? Because EVs. Because climate change. The governor said his letter reached out to the chairs and ranking members of the Energy and Technology Committee to meet in the near future to discuss about what could be done. Lamont ended the letter by saying he'd be happy to discuss ideas from Republicans. Isn't that nice? Like, there's almost people in this state who don't vote for Democrats. I'm shocked. Do you really think lawmakers in Hartford hear you? Because the governor apparently does, to a point. Republicans do. Is there a Democratic response to this, or are they just kind of gone radio silent and let this go away? No, seriously. I'm dead serious here. Would it hurt the Democrats to say, you know what, our friends across the aisle, they brought up some interesting things, so let's talk about this. And the governor even said this has been years and years in the making, not just the public benefits charge, but the costs here and looking at importing power. Why doesn't everybody get together? Or bottom line is it that they just don't care? Screw all of you, pay your electric bills, and you'll like it.